A few weeks ago, we had our annual family gathering at my sister's cottage in on Georgian Bay. You know, I love to float. And as I floated in the immensity of this water, and for that matter, whenever I find myself floating in a natural body of water, I just get this feeling like I'm floating in God. I don't know if that happens for any of you, but water is like that for me. It brings a sense of sacredness. Exhilarating. I feel safe and scared at the same time, and yet held up by a force not quite all my own, a buoyancy, if you will. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a water sign, but I'm awed by the power of big water. It fascinates me. We say that God is love, but I also think that God is water. I mean, water is where life began, right? God hovered over the water in the beginning, and from within a droplet of water, the first living cell developed. Neither theologian nor scientist can deny that water holds the basic building blocks for all that sustains life. When I was pastoring at Emmanuel, one of the parishioners, Rick Sulis, was a professor of hydrology at the University of Waterloo. He has since passed, but I remember him. I remember he would often speak to me about the mystery of water. He would say, "Jen, did you know it has been proven that water holds memory and water is molecularly affected positively and negatively by human interaction? As human beings, we are like 80% water. Can we not say the same about each other, that we are molecularly affected both positively and negatively by each other?" There is a whole world about water that we don't understand, and can't then the same be said about God? Water is the world's softest and most yielding substance on earth, yet it carves its way through solid rock with persistence over time, collecting and carrying wisdom through the ages. Ultimately, Rick's research in the study of hydrology led him to believe that water is purely and simply a substance that defies the odds it faces. And I think that there is a wisdom here we can all tap into. As I floated around in the water, you know what? I thought about Jonah. I wondered how it must have felt to be cast overboard, to find oneself tossed about upon the rough waters of the deep. What was it like to be cast overboard, rejected, discarded, abandoned to the will of the water? Was Jonah flailing about, desperately trying to keep his head above? Or was he simply resigned, waiting for the next wave to come and take him under? Jonah was cast into water. Jesus rose up from the water. And it is by way of water by which we become baptized as new creations. Life cannot begin, nor can it be sustained apart from water. Water then is the lifeblood of creation itself, and perhaps that is why it was the only element present with God in the beginning, as God hovered over the water, and it is the element that is also present when Jesus rises out of the water to begin his ministry after his baptism. It seems everything old and new comes to us by way of water. It is our rough sea, it is our shadow of the deep, and it is our birthplace of all things new, and it can be safe and scary all at the same time. At one point or another, we all know the feeling of being cast aside, rejected, kicking and flailing, feeling things to be strange and chaotic, unsettled and uncertain, tossed about, wondering if the next wave will lift us up or will it take us under. Interesting that Jonah's whale serves as a vessel of safety during this threatening time in Jonah's life. Under the surface, insulated actually from the peril of the sea, Jonah rests, contemplates, and realigns and remembers his deepest commitments while residing in this belly that God made. I guess you could say he floated for a while. When our waters are rough, when our seas are unpredictable, when the tides turn on us and seem uncertain and we are scared, we might begin to wonder, have I been cast away, rejected, and left alone, vulnerable to the will of the world? Sometimes we might wonder, where is my whale? Where is my vessel of safety as I navigate these uncharted waters? Do you know what my favorite part of the Jonah story is that I love the most? The part where Jonah ran from God, boarded a ship, and sailed to the other side of the earth to escape the reach of God. But in the end, he was completely unsuccessful because God was on the other side of the world too. See, God cannot be outran. God cannot be escaped. People may have cast Jonah away and rejected him out of fear, but God never did. Even in our very defiance of God, God finds us, waits for us, and then receives us again and again and again. I like to think that the whale, Jonah's whale, was God. Jonah, running from God, found himself resting in God until he remembered exactly whose he is. He is, like us, from God, with God, and for God. The whale is God, wrapping around Jonah as Jonah floats and remembers who and whose he is. Jonah is engulfed in God while he resides in the underbelly of the world, while he endures his darkest hour, and I believe that God is wrapped around us too now, creating and waiting as we rediscover our deepest commitments, connections, compassions, and loves. What the Jonah story tells me is that God's love is not based in reciprocity. We can run to the end of the earth, but when we arrive at the furthest point, we find God is there too. Love will still find us because we cannot outrun God and we cannot outrun love. It was C.S. Lewis who once said, "Love is never wasted because its value does not rest upon reciprocity." Love is the insulation wrapped around us, holding the rough waters at bay, and this is why the greatest commandment Jesus ever uttered was simply to love. Creation was born for the purpose of love, and so are we. Love changes us, and it's supposed to. Water, just as water changes the landscape of the earth, love changes the landscape of our lives. There is pain, and there is hardship, and there is death. In life, there is always pain and hardship and death. But a life of faith is knowing that love will always outrun us. Love will always engulf us and tend to us. Love will always create from us and for us a place to simply love and to be loved, like communities like ours. Love will always outrun us. Love will be waiting for us when we show up, and when we're ready, when we are ready, God will spit us back up onto our beaches so that we can go and be the people we are meant to be. We are a people who proclaim God's love even in the places we don't want to, even from the underbelly of the world, because when the seas are rough, we proclaim love. When the seas are calm, we proclaim love, because we know we are always being made new, and the path to newness is never smooth, but rather our darkness is made fruitful by way of carving our way through solid rock by persistence over time. God is always up to something new, and so let us wade a while in the safety of the Spirit. And when darkness comes, as it always does, let us languish in the vessel of God. Let us languish in love, and let us cultivate within us the very character and spirit of water. Let us surrender to the way of water, defying the odds through consistency and persistence over time, breaking through all that which is hard. For it is then that together we can defy all odds.